Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vintage Voices, presented by the Theater Company of Sun City's Radio Players. The current series of Easy Aces, a comedy written by Goodman Ace and performed with his real-life wife, Jane, aired on stations across the country from 1930 to 1945. Today's episode features Judy Stage as Jane Ace and Jim Rice as Mr. Ace, Bonnie Sabin as Marge, and introduces Marcia Behrens as Betty, Jane's niece. The series is directed by Jan Dennis. Please enjoy Betty's Marital Problem. Once again, we present Easy Aces, radio's distinctive laugh novelty. Well, Jane sold all the furniture in the Aces bungalow for $400. Then she visited an auction sale and found her old furniture being auctioned off very cheaply. It hurt her pride. She stepped in and bid up to $250. Got all the furniture back and made a profit of $150. The scene now is the bungalow after dinner. The house is back as it was before, with Jane, Mr. Ace, and their friend Marge enjoying its comfort.
Ah, this is more like it.
Comfortable?
Aren't you, Marge?
I should say. But it all happened so fast, I haven't quite got my bearings. First I said goodbye to all this, then all of a sudden it whisked right back, and I find myself sitting right here in my nook on the couch.
Yes. Seems like it was a nightmare, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're back together again, this chair and I. Ah, this is what I call comfort. How about it, Jane?
Hmm? What?
I say, isn't this like old times, having all our own furniture back? What are you doing? Writing to somebody?
Oh, no. I'm trying to figure out how often I could do this. Now, let me see.
How often?
I mean, if I can make $150 once and get the drapes clean besides, how many times would it take to make $1,500 or the price of another mink coat?
Oh, my.
You're not going to make a business out of this, are you? Well, I mean, I did it once. Why not? All I have to do is...
You have to do is forget it.
All I have to do is sell this furniture for $400, go to an auction sale and buy it back for $250, and I make $150 each time, don't I? Now, 10 times $150 I figured out would be approximately $1,500 profit.
Approximately, yes.
What do you mean approximately? It is $1,500 profit.
Not counting bail and fines and legal advice.
Oh, Jane, you're not thinking of making a habit of this. It's so easy, Marge. Look, all I have to do is sell the furniture for $400. Then I buy it back for $250. What do I make?
Me sick.
No, I mean in cash.
Oh, in cash.
I make $150 each time. It comes out the same way every time I figure it. I can't understand it. I know somebody isn't doing good somewhere, but it isn't I. I can't figure out who it is. But that's their worry. I guess every time somebody makes some money, somebody else loses money. Don't they, dear? See, all I have to do is advertise furniture for sale in the newspaper. A man comes and buys it for $400. And I go and buy it back for $250, and I make $150.
Foolproof.
So, you've opened a new field of business, huh, Jane? Yes, except one thing. There's a fly in the oatmeal.
What is it?
The advertisement in the paper costs $1.12 every time I advertise.
Oh, yes.
Overhead. A little over my head, but not much. Isn't it funny? I never thought of this before. Here I've been looking at this same furniture every day for 6 years, and I never thought I could make money out of it and still have it. Sell it, buy it. Sell it, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on forever.
Or until that chair falls apart.
It's wonderful.
You know, Jane, I think you've got nothing there.
Pretty good, eh, dear?
Yes, yes.
You can laugh, Marge. They laughed at Edison when he sat down at the piano.
That was a Victrola, wasn't it?
This is a new business. I just happened to think of it. Just like Edison when he sat down at the...
Speaking of Edison, Jane, the phone is ringing.
What?
The telephone. Do you mind, Jane? You're right there. You can just...
Oh, the phone's ringing. Excuse me.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello? Is that you, Aunt Jane?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Betty.
Oh, hello, Betty.
I'm coming right over with my baby. This is the end. You've got to take me in. I can't stand it anymore. I've tried and tried. It's no use. I've been a loyal and faithful wife. Heaven knows I made every sacrifice. But tonight came the finish. It had to come sometime. And now I'm through. Do you understand? I don't mind for myself. But when it comes to the baby, I'll fight the world. Especially this man who calls himself my husband. I'll kill myself and my baby rather than put up with him another day. Will you help me, Aunt Jane?
How are you, Betty? What's new?
We'll be over in 5 minutes. I'm all packed. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, what do you know?
Oh, not much. What do you know, Jane?
Plenty. Something's wrong.
With Betty?
There's something always wrong with Betty, isn't there?
Dear, I want you to stop talking like that this minute.
Yes, ma'am.
This is no laughing matter. She and Carl had a fight.
Again?
This is the first fight they've had since the baby came 6 months ago.
How do you know? You never keep in touch with them.
Oh, I know. I should see my own niece more often than I do. You don't have to rub it in.
Well, what happened with her and Carl?
I don't know. She didn't tell me. I didn't get a chance to talk to her.
But she got a chance to talk to you. What was that long pause you were listening to there?
Oh, that. She didn't say much there. She was so excited and crying.
Oh.
What did she say?
Nothing. She said, I'm coming right over with the baby. This is the end. You've got to take me in. I can't stand it anymore. I've tried and tried, she said. No, she said, I tried and tried and tried.
Oh.
I've been a loyal and faithful wife, and I'm going to kill myself and the baby.
Kill herself?
What are you talking about?
That's what she said. And on her way to do it, she's stopping over here. We'll have to tell her not to.
Well, I should hope so.
Why?
Listen, dear, this is my sister's only child. My sister sent her here to get married. We got her married, and to a very nice fellow. Do you think I'm going to go and let her kill herself, even if she doesn't mean it? I should say not.
What does she mean, coming here and our taking her in?
She and Carl had a fight. Don't you get it?
I get the fight, Jane, but we can't keep her here.
Why not, if I may be so cold? Whose house is this?
Yours, I suppose.
No, it's ours.
Thanks.
Half mine and half yours.
Yes.
With $150 left over.
Oh, yes.
I guess I've got something to say about my own niece coming to live here.
But she's married. She's got a husband.
But they had a fight.
So what?
So they'll get over it.
Why should she?
Sure. Just something that needs patching up. She's crazy about Carl.
Yes, and so is he.
What was the argument about? Did she say?
No, I didn't get a chance to ask her. It's just one of those silly things. You know how married people argue once in a while?
No, I don't know. Tell me, Jane.
Well, one of them says something. Then the other says, oh, sarcastic, huh?
Why, no, Jane. I'm not sarcastic.
I know you too well. I haven't been married to you for all these years for nothing. You're just lucky we don't have any arguments, because one of us knows how to twist the other one around her little finger, and I don't have to say which one I mean.
Which little finger you mean?
Yes. No! Which one of us I mean.
Are you two going to get into a tantrum just as Betty gets here?
Well, him and his sarcasm.
Her and her little finger.
I didn't say whose little finger. I guess you've got a guilty conscience.
I have.
If it fits you, wear it.
How does it look on me?
What's the use? It's like talking to a deaf wall. Now, what were you saying, Marge?
Something about Betty, I believe.
Oh, yes. Well, they had a little fight. It isn't much. You know how married people argue once in a while. What was that?
I didn't say anything.
I don't like that tone in your eyes.
I thought it looked well on me. It just matches my conscience.
Oh, Marge, stop laughing at him. He'll start thinking he's funny. Now, where was I?
Married couples argue once in a while.
Let's skip that. I guess you know how Betty flies off the coop.
Yes, Betty does have a temper, doesn't she?
Now, Marge, we're not going to take sides, except Betty's.
Oh, no.
Except Betty's, eh?
Well, she's my niece, my sister's only child. Oh, there she is now.
Just a minute. I'll go, dear. I didn't make a move.
Yeah, just leave it to you, and we'll have nothing done around here. Now, I don't want to hear one word out of you. You understand?
Not even scram?
Oh, leave her alone.
I should have known I was too comfortable here.
Betty, come in.
Hello, Aunt Jane. Here, take this bag. The baby's still asleep. I'll hold her.
No noise, everybody. The baby's asleep.
Aunt Jane, you'll waken her.
Excuse me. No noise, everybody. The baby's asleep.
Well, hello, Betty.
Hello. I've come to stay here. I'm through with Carl. I'm through with everything. Men are beasts. They don't deserve wives, much less children. They're beasts, I tell you.
Woof, woof.
Trying to be funny, Uncle Ace?
No, just trying to accommodate.
Oh, look at the baby. If she isn't the cutest. Look, Marge. Her fingers curled up in her fist. Hello, Susan. Say hello to Susan, Marge.
Stop calling her Susan. Her name is Sheila.
Sheila? Why, I thought it was Susan.
That's Carl's doing. For months, I've told him her name is Sheila. For months, he's called her Susan. When she was tiny, I didn't mind so much. But when she started to grow, he kept on calling her Susan. The child was beginning to respond. I couldn't stand it anymore. I begged him. I pleaded with him. I humbled myself to him, to that man, asking him to call her Sheila. He kept on calling her Susan. The child was becoming confused. But tonight, I made up my mind.
Your what?
You heard what I said.
Her mind, she said, dear.
Oh.
Go ahead then, Betty. Isn't it exciting? Then what?
I decided to leave him. I don't want to see or speak to him again.
Oh, but Betty, you can't take a child away from its father.
It's my child.
Yes, but it's his too.
No, he has a child born of his imagination. A child named Susan. This is my child, Sheila.
Well, that's very pretty. Born of his imagination.
I knew you'd be against me.
Now, let's not take sides. I don't blame you, Betty. After all, it's a wise child that knows her own name. You can't go around calling a child Susan one minute and Sheila the next week. Oh, isn't she cute? Hello, Susan.
Aunt Jane, stop that this minute. Her name is Sheila.
Excuse me. I keep forgetting which is which. Hello. What's the name again?
Sheila. Sheila.
Oh, she's opened her eyes. She sees me. Look at her, dear. She sees me. She understands me.
She's a genius.
Oh, she's a gorgeous child. What coloring. And those blue eyes and pink cheeks.
I must put her to bed. Where will she sleep?
In her own bed, I suggest.
I'll never go back there.
Why come here?
Where can I turn? Where can I go?
Yeah, where can she turn? Where can she go?
How about back to her husband and stop this silly argument? Breaking up a home over the name of a child.
I have no home. My home was broken up the minute he called her Susan.
Oh.
He knew I'd chosen the name of Sheila long before she was born. He and his stubbornness.
Well, maybe that stubbornness is 50-50, Betty.
And Marge, I expected you to be on his side, too.
Stand over here with me, Marge.
Oh, Aunt Jane, you're the only one I can turn to.
All right, I'll stand over with you. Now let me see how we stand. 3-2, counting Susan.
No, not Susan. Will you stop calling her Susan?
Oh, I forgot again. Hello, Sheila. How are you, Sheila? This is Aunt Jane, Sheila Sue. You like Aunt Jane, Sheila Sue? I like you, Sheila Sue.
Oh, stop that racket, will you?
Well, Jane forgets furniture for a while to take up the problem of mending Betty's marital affairs. Thank you for listening to this month's Vintage Voices program on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. We welcome your comments about the broadcast. Our email address is vintagevoices@huntleyradio.org. We look forward to your joining us next Sunday at 11 a.m. for Vintage Voices, and next month at the same time for a new episode in the series, Easy Aces. And now, stay with us for a conversation with directors of the Theater Company of Sun City's musicals.
Hello, I'm Jan Dennis, director of Vintage Voices here on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, WHRULP. And with me in the studio today are three stars of musical theater at Sun City Huntley, namely Peter Davis, the musical director,
Ooh.
Rob Kay, artistic director
for all the
shows, and Val Stroud, the choreographer. So we have been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks now as we found time in our calendars to get together. And I'd just like to start, Peter, with you and have each of you introduce yourselves. Tell our listeners when and how you became acquainted and involved with Sun City Musical.
My name is Peter Davis. And back in late 2002, the first president of the Prairie Singers, which I directed for the first year of their existence, came to me and we started thinking about starting a theater company. And it's coincidence would have it, another friend of mine and Rob's, Herb Berry, moved to Sun City and came up to me and said, how would you like to start a theater company? I said, that's kind of funny because we're exactly what we're planning to do. And I've been doing musical direction for the shows since we started. So the one coming up will be my 28th.
Thank you for the energy you bring. Rob, how about you? What's your story?
Well, right after they started everything up, Peter and I together had a theater company, production company called Harmony Productions, and we had already been performing up here right from the very beginning, Valentine's Day of 2000. I can remember it very clearly, and I figured out how the lighting system worked, and when they started the theater company shortly after that, he asked me to come up and handle the lights, and then it just faded into doing sound also and helping with all sorts of tech things. And then when the prior director left and moved to Florida, Jim Williams, they asked me to step up and be director at that point. And that's been for the last 5 years.
Fabulous. And a great situation.
Yeah.
Let's ask Val what she has to bring to this table.
Well, in 2006, I had just moved into Sun City, and my husband and I were going through Fountain View, and here was this poster saying, come and audition for the theater company of Sun City for a show called Anything Goes. So my husband said to me, well, why don't you, he's the one that told me, you got to go do this. Go and call and see if they need a choreographer. Well, I thought about it a couple of days, and finally I called Jim Williams, who was the director at that time. He says, sure. He says, come to auditions, bring your resume, you know. So I went in there, dropped my resume off, told him who I was, left, didn't stay, didn't hear anything. I think it was about a week and a half later I told Ken that they don't need anybody. I got a call, and I was told to come over and meet Peter and Kate, who was Jim's wife at the time, and talked to them, and they said, okay, let's give you a try. And they did. And so, boy, that was the best day of my life.
Wow, that's a very poignant story. I didn't realize
that
it was never turning back after that point.
No, thank
for
goodness.
You or for the theater company. That's wonderful, Val.
I'm very, very pleased.
That's actually part of our good fortune.
Yes.
That she showed up.
Amazing that we miraculously had a choreographer right in our midst.
Yeah.
Well, starting again with Peter, can you name a favorite production or memory of directing, in your case, Peter Singers, and explain why it stayed with you all these years?
Probably my favorite show would be the very first one, which was Once Upon a Mattress. Oh,
and why is that?
Because if that show didn't succeed, there wouldn't be a Sun City Theater Company today. And fortunately, it did succeed. The audiences loved it. And even though it started on a shoestring, we've been doing shows ever since. So.
How about you, Rob?
My favorite part about doing this is the concept of it being true community theater. I love the concept of, hey guys, I've got a barn, let's put on a show, and we all come together and we all work hard and this wonderful experience happens and it goes out onto the stage and the people applaud and they love it and they laugh and they cry and they sing along. It's what it's all about. And when I have the opportunity and the privilege to cast somebody in a show or a part, and they've been trying so hard to be cast, and all of a sudden they finally have earned it, and they're so happy and they're so excited. For me, that's the best moment.
Val, what comes to your mind, favorite memory?
Again, every show I do is favorite to me. Every show is special because it's special in its own way. But again, I'm going to revert back to my Anything Goes. Mm-hmm. I was a newbie. I walked into there. People did not know me. I did not know them, and they embraced me. To see this on stage, it was very, very memorable to me. So that's my memory.
And I think you all represent direction with heart, and actors relate to that too, that you're fully invested, so they become fully invested. Mm-hmm. Peter, I want to come back to you, especially on the singing part, because I think the most intimidating for an actor about musicals is be able to sing. And I have seen you work with people, and I wonder if you can explain what it is you do that gives them confidence. The person who comes in saying, I can't sing, I can't read music, etc. What is your secret?
You know, it's kind of a hard question to answer because, I mean, I teach this. Mm-hmm. And if I give away too many secrets, and nobody's going to buy it.
In other words, you do lessons. Voice lessons, yes.
But basically, I would say this, that most people who think they are tone deaf aren't. They just don't have the knowledge or capability of knowing how to reproduce what it is they're hearing. And that's what I try and do with them. Mm-hmm. I get them some basics and teach them how to sing properly, mm-hmm. how to use the diaphragm, how to just produce what it is that they're hearing. And we've had some really good success stories with people who basically couldn't sing at all, mm-hmm. who now do leads with
didn't
many songs.
Think they could sing, but yep. with your patience, guidance, and support, they learned they could.
Yes.
And then, as Rob and Val have pointed out, they hear the applause for something they didn't think they could even do or had the nerve to try.
That's correct. So. And it's just as true for dance and just mm-hmm. true for the acting, mm-hmm. that these okay. two get these people to do things that they never thought they could do.
Rob, you mentioned earlier that you feel inspired or just encouraged by this work with people at Sun City. What is it that you have had to do to adapt some shows for an older actor? Can you give any examples?
Well, the last show, Patent Leather Shoes, I was pretty insistent. The show is written where in one number, the nuns roller skate. And I was insistent on that happening. And after consultation with Peter, he convinced me that I had to pull back on that a little bit, but I was fortunate enough to get at least a few of the ladies who were cast as nuns who were willing to give it a shot. And then we got one of them to roller skate, and then another one said, hey, how about a scooter? And I said, well, all right, that'd work. And how about a walker? That would play out here at Sunset. That'd be funny. Okay, well, so we did that instead. So we got the feel across without being exactly how it's written. But from the standpoint of modifying the show, my goal is not to do that. I don't want to modify the show. And I know in years past, before, especially before Val was around, where choreography was a premium, they cut some dances, they cut some numbers, they cut numbers that were hard vocally. My belief is that they can do it. That is always where I – that is my goal A, my thought in my mind before we do every scene, every number, they can do it. One of us is going to be able to make them do more than what they think they're capable of. I have faith in them. I believe that that every actor up there can do something, or I wouldn't put them in that situation. And it doesn't mean that sometimes you don't modify just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to, especially in a dance standpoint. And, you know, and then, there, you know, there's shows out there that we'll probably never be able to do because they're just extremely complicated vocal shows. You know, a Sondheim show, which has, you know, eight parts, and I can just imagine Peter's head exploding behind me, even though I can't see him. thinking about doing a Sondheim show. It's just, but overall, when I start out, my goal is not to cut anything because I have faith in this group of people, these actors who have gone from what they started at 12, 13 years ago, which was really a community theater style show, to this group that I would hold up against any community theater in the area. They are as talented as a group as any group I've ever worked for. Mm-hmm. And I believe they can do it.
And that's so impactful on them as well, to know their director has confidence in them. Val, when you're working with older bodies, you as a dance instructor know that we can't do things we could do 30 years ago, 40 years ago. How do you adapt your dance ideas, as Rob said, if you are pressed to do so for the older performer?
Well, I never think of them as older performers. That's number one. Number two, again, we do have some modification, but this is why we do a lot of talking, why Peter and Rob and I talk even before we decide what type of show we're going to do. So when it comes time for auditions, I give them certain things that I think that they will be good at, and we work from there. I don't come in thinking I'm going to actually do this step. But again, I do it, and then I see how it's going to work. I never put that kind of a pressure on people, so I never think, okay, you know what? You can't do the step. We're going to modify. I would never say that to any of our people, ever, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. You do what you can do. And so when it comes into that, it's very hard. I take each show. It shows different. I may go over the edge in one and not over the edge in another. Just depends on what we do. So to answer that, I cannot give you, like, this is what I do. No, because we never know what's going to happen, who we're going to get. And there's a lot of talking between the three of us that people don't hear or see. Mm-hmm. And it works out. As you well know, who sees our theater company knows that what we put on that stage is A1, right. No matter what they do.
And nobody knows what somebody couldn't do.
Absolutely.
They're doing so
I would never put anybody in that respect. So I never tell somebody, well, you know what, we're gonna change that because you can't do it. Mm-hmm. No, I would never do that.
No, okay. But I think all three of you have a spirit of flexibility at the same time.
Absolutely.
Challenge us, but be flexible in the end.
Absolutely. I've had more people come up to me outside of the theater company, because I work with other theater companies and other actors and actresses, and I've had people come up and say, oh, these dances are so, so hard that we're not having fun. Well, that day that we don't have fun, hang it up, because you want to have fun when you're doing a show. So thank goodness, I think we have fun each time we do it. So good.
That's great. I thank each and every one of you for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
The Theater Company of Sun City will offer tickets to its fall 2016 musical, The Wizard of Oz, beginning on October 10th. This classic and heartwarming tale of good, evil, and no place like home has charmed children and adults alike since its release as a movie in 1939. Interest is high as the theater company presents this show for its very first time. Show dates will be Thursday through Sunday, November 17th through 20th, on the Drendel Ballroom stage. For tickets or further information about the theater company, call 847-515-8545. That's 847-515-8545.